Servants, be obedient to those who are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling, in sincerity of heart, as to Christ. Not with eye service as men pleasers, but as servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart, with good will, doing service, as to the Lord, and not to men. Knowing that whatever good anyone does, he will receive the same from the Lord, whether he is a slave or a free man. And you, masters, do the same things to them, giving up threatening, knowing that your own master also is in heaven, and there is no partiality with him. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you this morning for the gift of life and for the gifts of talent and ability. Thank you for the very special way you have made each of us and the giftedness that you've placed within us, the talents that enable us to be diverse and different, to effectively work in this world, to labor, to make a contribution. We thank you, Father, for the privilege of work and the honor of labor and the dignity of hard effort. We pray that this morning, as we think about our labors, may we indeed be willing to consecrate and dedicate ourselves anew and afresh to your will and to your work in our world. Help us to understand that the church lives on during the week, and it is reflected in our duty and in our doing, that our conduct reflects upon you, Lord Jesus, more in the 6 days that we're working in the world than it does in the day that we set aside here together to be encouraged. Thank you for the variety and for the enormous energy of the body of Christ. Now, Lord, receive our gifts. We give them to you and ask that you would honor your name through their use. Multiply them, bless those who worship you through the gift of these moments. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. In Ephesians chapter 4, God says, don't steal any longer, but labor with your hands in that which is good, that you might have to give to someone in need. That's the fourth chapter of the book of Ephesians. So God is concerned that we do something that is good with our hands. That means that we discover what our hands are able to do, and we do that. We do that. I am fascinated when I stop and ask myself, who are the great preachers of the Bible? For instance, what was Moses' occupation? Moses. He was a shepherd, and then he became an administrator. What was Daniel's job? Daniel was a government worker. Do you know that? What was Joseph's job? Well, he was a prisoner, and then he became prime minister. Do you ever think about that? What was David's primary job? Shepherd. That's coincidental, isn't it? That's where God teaches leadership, by taking people out to mind sheep. But we generally think of David as the king, administrator. He was a government official. When you ask the question from the Word of God, how many people in the Word of God do what I do, or what you think I do when you think of your pastor, versus how many people in the Bible do what you do, who wins? You win. There aren't many of my types in the Bible. And that seems so obvious that I wonder sometimes why we put this spin on it. We create this guilt trip that unless you are doing what I do, unless you are full-time teaching, studying, administrating the things that are of the church or the Word of God, that somehow your call is less significant, or that you just can't quite be fully effective to God unless you're a missionary or a full-time pastor. You won't find that written anywhere in the Word of God. As a matter of fact, you'll find just the opposite. God, nowhere that I can find anyway in Scripture, sanctifies and sets up one job and says, if you can just be like this, you'll make it. What God does do is He looks at the heart, and God gives some very fundamental, basic principles that need to guide all of us in our work world. Those principles are more important than what you do. By that I mean, if your occupation is morally acceptable, you're not involved in some conduct that you're not pushing drugs. I just had a bad thought about doctors, but that's... It took my mental breath away there for a minute. But you're not involved in something that's illegal. You're not involved in something that is immoral, something that is inappropriate at those levels. Assuming that, then whatever your hand finds to do, whatever your hand finds to do, that's from Colossians chapter 3. Whatever your hand finds to do, that's about the closest definition I can find of career choice in the Bible. Now, if God wants to move you from what He's called you to do into a different geographical area or into a more specific kind of work, He is very capable of doing that. And the Bible shows that He does that on rare occasion. But for most of God's people, most of the time, career choice is whatsoever your hand findeth to do, assuming that that is good, that it is moral, that it is beneficial. Okay. So, whatever your job is, whether you're a dishwasher, whether you're a farmer, a truck driver, however you express your energies and talents in a meaningful and productive way, whatever that career may be, whatever it may be, here are four things God wants you to take to the bank. These are things that God is very concerned about. So God is not so concerned about what you do in terms of work. He is concerned with how you go about that work. In Ephesians chapter 6, in the New King James translation, there are four S's. That makes it really easy. Four S's. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 5. The first S is in verse 5. Sincerity. Servants, be obedient to those who are your masters according to the flesh with fear and trembling, in sincerity of heart as to Christ. Sincerity has to do with integrity, has to do with underlying motivation, with how you go about what you do. Do it sincerely. When I was in high school, I was offered a job to work at an A&P store. And my job was first to stock shelves, and then my job was to check out groceries, to handle the cash, you know, run the cash machine. That was back before, you know, the machine did all the thinking for you and told you how much change. So I had to figure all that in my head. And I worked there for probably 2 years, my last 2 years of high school before I went off to college. It raised quite a controversy in the church where I attended that I was working in the A&P store, because the A&P store handled athletic beverages. Yeah, Gatorade. Oh, this was pure booze. And the problem was that some of the members in our church saw that I was there handling that material, selling it to people as they took it home for consumption. And I remember the conversations around the dinner table as my parents discussed this. I remember discussing it with the pastor at that time, because I didn't want anything to keep me from being sincere and honest and straightforward in my work relationships. See, I really felt that I needed to be a person of integrity. I felt that if a person gave me their money, I should be exact and precise in giving them back the exact change, equal value. I was sincere. I saw my job there at the A&P store as being a place where God had put me as a missionary. That was the primary reason for my being there. So everything I did, I needed to do out of integrity, sincerely. I wasn't just putting in my time. I wasn't just watching the clock. I was trying as best I could to advance the interests of that store, to do all that I could to make that store productive and profitable, because I was, as the verse says, I was to serve there in sincerity of heart as to Christ. Are you giving your boss 110%? Are you moving not just your career, but are you moving the organization ahead that you're part of? Do you consider the overall welfare of the organization that you're part of? Fear, trembling. Those words connote that this is an intense thing. I'm not just here to pick up my paycheck. I don't just waltz in here, spend some time, get out with the minimum requirements, and go home. I am here in sincerity of heart. I'm here with full integrity to accomplish the best that this organization can be. Secondly, another S, verse 6. Not with eye service as men pleasers, but as servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart. Servants of Christ. Do you consider me as your pastor to be Christ's servant? Is it easier for you to see that the things that I do, I ought to do? After all, this is Christ's work. Well, then take that same attitude and reflect upon your own calling. Are you a nurse? Then Christ, who purchased you, has now commissioned you to be a nurse like he would be a nurse if he were in your uniform. Are you a mechanic? If so, how would Jesus Christ be a mechanic? What would he do? How would his mechanicship be different than other people who work around the shop there? You see, the Bible says that every one of us who came to know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior were bought with a price. We are not our own. Now, if you're in an environment or in a situation, in a calling, in a career, where you cannot be like Christ, then you better get out of that environment. Because you really are not your own. Think of it this way. Jesus bought my contract. He has the right to assign me to any team he wants me to play on. He has the right to tell me how he wants me to play as the member of that team. I belong to him. I'm his slave. Your work is not just some place you spend 40, 60 hours a week in order to get a paycheck. Your work is an assignment where your master wants you to represent him. There's a third S. With goodwill, verse 7 says, with goodwill doing service as to the Lord, not to men. I remember being very, very tired one night back in the E&P store, very, very tired, and was feeling grouchy, and someone came through the line. My normal response would have been, how would Jesus treat them? Okay? How would Jesus treat them? On this occasion, someone came through the line who was sweet and generous and kind and thoughtful, saw that I was tired, and suddenly the light came on. And my thought process reversed to, how would I treat this person if that was Jesus? See the difference? Service as to the Lord. If you were polishing Jesus' shoes, take any shortcuts? If you were frying a hamburger for Jesus to eat, if you were washing dishes where Jesus is going to eat food off those dishes, if you were writing a song and Jesus were going to sing it, if you were preparing a car, fixing a car, and Jesus is going to use that car for some of his work, how would you fix it? If you were repairing my teeth, would you do it as if I were Jesus? That's what that verse is saying. With goodwill doing service as to the Lord. Jesus is your customer. Jesus is your client, and we ought to serve those we serve as if Jesus himself were standing in their shoes. Fourth, verse 8, knowing that whatsoever good anyone does, he will receive the same, there's the fourth S, the same from the Lord. My paycheck is the smallest part of my compensation. Beyond my paycheck, there ought to be this sense of dignity, worth, value. I am sincerely engaged, wholeheartedly engaged in an industry that is doing good to people. It is producing a product that is helpful. I am involved in serving Christ in that way. That is, I am his servant. I am here on a commission basis. My job here is to do and be what pleases my master. I'm here to do the work as if I were serving him. When I try the customer's shoes on, I should think this is Jesus. I'm fitting shoes for him. When I am selling a product, I should think Jesus is my customer. So there should be there must be this sense of commission, this sense of worth and value, that what I'm doing is not punching a clock and taking home a paycheck. What I am doing is I am fulfilling God's will. I am doing the thing for which I was created. I am part of God's plan and purpose in this world. I am a source of his appointed good. And with all my heart, I'm doing it. Because I know that I'm going to get the same back. That's what that verse says. Knowing that whatsoever good anyone does, he will receive the same from the Lord. Our brother a few moments ago talked about how he sows his seed. I thought, wow, he ought to be preaching this morning. He's got the point. The point is that he is giving himself away, investing his life like you plant seed, and he expects that seed to grow and to develop. And he expects there will be a return back, and there will be. There will be. There will be. We just finished a series of messages recently where we tried to show you from God's word over and over again. God says, do what you do now with intensity and integrity, with interest and with involvement, because you're going to be rewarded or you're going to lose rewards based upon that. And those rewards are eternal. When you put on your gear tomorrow and you go to work, consider yourself on heavenly assignment. When you come to church next week, our attitude should be that we're here to encourage and teach and stimulate and worship and strengthen each other. For what purpose? So we can go back to those places of appointment better fitted, better tuned, more deeply consecrated to the work God's doing in that workplace. Listen, God has you there for his glory, even if no one ever gets saved. You're there on divine assignment. And the energy that you're using and the talents that you're employing and the service that you're doing is your way of saying thanks to the Heavenly Father. It's your way of working out your salvation, of demonstrating your salvation. It's the arena in which your faith takes on muscle and builds strength and exhibits Christ. It's the opportunity to interface personally and many times intimately with people who, apart from that contact with you, will never know there is a Savior, will never know what the grace of God can do. You are God's show and tell. Now, the last verse speaks to the flip side of all this. Verse 9, it says, and you masters, Do the same thing to them, giving up threatening, knowing that your own master also is in heaven. That's a word to those of us who have responsibility to manage others. Those whom God has entrusted with the responsibility and care of serving others so that they might be more effective in their work. Again, the Spirit of God draws the attention of the boss upward away from the task to the one who is sovereign. When we manage others, whether we are parenting or teaching or administrators, we are demonstrating how we want Christ to deal with us. And we are exhibiting to others what we know about God's grace to us. The most important part of the boss's work is not to get the job done through others. The most important part of the boss's work is to show others the attitude that they ought to bring to their job and to create the environment of security and the environment of fairness, which they, the boss, in turn, knows to be true of the heavenly master, the heavenly boss. Or to put that in one sentence, every Christian boss has one primary job, and that's to be a Jesus boss to others as Jesus is to him. Every parent has one primary job, and that is to show the kids what God is like by being that kind of person to them. Work, labor, job, career. Whatsoever your hand finds to do, do with all your heart, sincerely, as to the Lord. Understanding that you're his servant, you're there by assignment. Understanding that that person you're serving becomes for you a representative of Jesus Christ, an opportunity for you to act out your faith and love for Christ in the way you love and serve and minister to that person. Remember, the great paycheck is the one Jesus gives. And boss, your biggest job is not to get the job done. Your biggest job is to represent and reflect Jesus Christ in the virtues and fairness and the way you manage those under your influence. In your hymn book, please turn to hymn 458. 458. In this great hymn, the author tells us of his passion that should be our passion. The big word consecrate simply means to treat as holy. That's what it means. And what the author says is, take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord. That means devoted to him. My hands, my job, my task, my day, my contacts, my relationship, the institution, all of that, that's holy stuff. So when you see that word consecrated, think holy, holy, holy. It means making the whole of my life an expression of worship and love to God through the human work and contacts that I make. Now, if this morning you know that you can't do that in the place where God's placed you or in the place where you are, then you need to make a very serious change. If you know that you're contributing to the delinquency of our world through the work that you do, you need to make a career change. That's not where God wants you. If you are in a place where you're doing good, then ponder those four S's and make this prayer of your heart. If you're here this morning and you've never trusted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, That's the decision you need to make. You need to come to Him and accept His forgiveness for your sins and accept Him into your life as your personal Savior. He will give you the gift of everlasting life. He will come to dwell in your life, and then He will appoint you and deploy you in His service. And that's what we've been talking about this morning. But don't try to do this until, first of all, your heart and your life belongs to the Lord Jesus Christ by a decision that you make personally in relationship to Him.